everybody. This is Danny Johnson. And it's been a couple weeks since I have actually been able to get on this call with you guys, and so I'm kind of been anticipating throughout the day of being able to talk with you guys and share with you some of the questions that we've been bringing through the internet and answer some more questions for you guys. We've been doing that for a few weeks, and that seems to be going really well. So we're going to cover a gamut of different topics, from prospecting to closing to getting over issues and fears and things like that. And so we're going to go ahead and dive right into that topic. Before I go there, for those of you that I have not met you, or this is your first time listening to this call, my name is Danny Johnson, and prior to getting started in business for myself, I was a 19-year-old uneducated female who grew up in an abusive home, of a serious oppressed home, where my father constantly tried to stop me from dreaming and tried to stop me from becoming anything that I would ever want to become. I was an athlete trying to get his attention, and he just nothing I ever did was good enough, and nothing was ever right. And I grew up hearing that I was fat, ugly, and I would never amount to anything, and I believed him wholeheartedly. He was a man with no vision and no dreams, and he wanted to make sure no one else in the house had any either. And so when I was 19 and I heard about going into business for myself, honestly, I didn't think that I could do anything. I couldn't succeed in anything. I thought that people like me don't make it anywhere. Biggest hope was to get married and hopefully have a functional marriage. And that was about it, and have a bunch of kids, and that was it. Fortunately, I've done part of that. I am a mom. I've got 5 children, and I've been married for a while, and have been, God blessed us, in a business that has prospered for many, many, many years. And when I was 19, starting out, I failed the first 6 months miserably. Failed miserably. Couldn't get anybody started in my business. Couldn't get anyone excited about, what I had, my product, service, nothing. I mean, I felt like I had the plague or something, or I had like a third eye. And shortly after failing miserably, I found somebody who told me about a training seminar, and that training seminar was going to cost me about $1,500 to plug into, and did so, didn't have the money, didn't have the time, could think of a lot of other better places to spend that kind of cash, and yet came out of that first training seminar, made $4,000 in 8 days. The following month made $11,000. The following check after that was $15,000. One following that was just under $21,000. And then I ran off and got married and wanted to complete that side of my life. I totally felt like I was on top of everything. I mean, my whole world was just so completely awesome, so I thought. And I ran off and got married, and my husband drained my bank account, maxed out my credit cards, and left me with a $35,000 debt. And he left me with $2.03 to my name, and I was completely devastated. It turned out he took off for another woman, which was, a big confidence booster, and wound up living completely out of my car, totally 100% homeless, living out of my car, and completely destitute in every way you could imagine. I mean, lost all my dreams, lost all confidence, the little bit that I had gained through that business adventure the year before, and did not believe for a moment that I would ever succeed again, and almost wished that I had never had any kind of success. And so after several weeks of being very negative and whining and complaining, and blaming my father and blaming my ex-husband for where I was at, I completely got upset with myself after I was homeless for several weeks and said, enough is enough. I reached that breaking point where it was, I've had enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. I got to step up and do something different. And started a business in the trunk of my car in a payphone booth and made $2,000 the first 10 hours. The following month made $6,500. The following month made over $10,000. By the end of my first year, made a quarter of $1 million. And by the end of my second year, made my first million. Went on to make millions beyond that, raising my 5 children, working on a part-time basis. And this has been, honestly, an incredible journey. I can't say that every day in my home-based business has been glorious, because it hasn't. Just like even if you have a wonderful marriage, not every day is glorious. Even though when you give birth to your children, it's such a glorious thing that happens, but not every day being a parent is glorious. There's been hard days, frustrating days, trying days, hurtful days, days where you want to grab somebody and hurt them. Days where they have been glorious and uplifting and encouraging and fun and exhilarating and exciting. But anything that you're going to do in life, you're going to have one or the other. at any time, at any given time. Not all great things last forever, and not all bad times last forever, unless, of course, you pitch a tent in hell if you're in it right now. And if you are, then get out. Get off that mountain that you're dwelling on and move on to something else. And so, honestly, the reason why we're all here tonight and the person that invited you onto this call was somebody that cared enough about you and cared enough about your future because they found a website, a free website, that has helped them tremendously. And I can tell you right now, it's not by anything I've done. It's a definite team effort. The team effort here at DannyJohnson.com who formulated the website as well as all the other tools that are available for people plus the seminars, but also that God stirred in these people to make a change, to step up, to do something different, to get out of a rut, to get out of debt, to just not wind up the same, to not let this year be like last year, to not let the next 5 years be like the last 5 years. And so the person that invited you on the call cared enough about you because they found something that helped them to introduce you to a free website that you can use to apply to any area of your life. This is nothing but a teaching and training site. We do not market any particular products, so to speak, other than CDs that are available for those of you that want to drive around in your car and listen or on a Walkman while you're exercising or whatever. But that's all that we do have. We do not market traditional products, so to speak, and we are not a business that is an opportunity. We are simply just a service, and again, most of our service is free on a website so that you can use it to become better parents, you can use it to become better employees, you can use it to become better entrepreneurs. If you are running a company to help you increase your skills in every area of dealing with people or personally, that you can enhance those areas to become, to improve all the way around. And all of us can use it. And if there's any one of us on the phone right now that thinks that you can't, there is another hard lesson you got coming to you. Because my understanding is probably comes before a fall. So anyway, why in the world a broke cocktail waitress? I have no idea, to be honest with you. I have absolutely no idea why people listen. I have no idea why people come. I have no idea why people, send us testimonials as to, you know, that the fact that their life had been improved or they got a promotion or they reached the top bonus pools or whatever. I just don't know other than the fact that I serve a very gracious, faithful God who has blessed us and blessed our clients tremendously. And so let's go ahead and get right into the topic or several topics that we're talking about tonight. Somebody emailed this question saying, I need help in the ability to communicate properly and to connect and form trust with my prospect. This is obviously somebody in a home-based business that does prospecting on a daily basis. Now, great question, and I could spend hours on this topic. In fact, this weekend in Denver, Colorado, I will be spending hours on this topic of teaching people how to communicate more clearly and properly with people, teaching all of those students that are going to be there this weekend how to be able to create eager wants in a prospect or in your spouse or in your children to do the things that you need them to do for them to succeed. But let me just go ahead and give you a couple little nuggets right now. There's basically four personality types. There's lots of different training and books that you can read on four different personality types, and they call them all different types of things. I named my formulation their gems because I think everybody is precious. And basically, between these four gems that we call an emerald, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl, these four personality types all speak different languages. Now, I don't know of any book or CD or DVD that teaches the personalities the way that we do. We teach it in a more complete form, and here's why. It's not only about discovering what personality you are or somebody else is, but it's learning the language in which they speak, learning how they hear, and learning what matters most to them. And so, yes, we teach how to identify it, but, for example, at Creating a Dynasty, which you have to be a First Steps graduate in order to go to that, but the people that just graduate from Dynasty, we spent hours on teaching and understanding the language of personalities. Now, I didn't spend hours talking about it. We put these people through an experience where they had to hear, listen, and learn themselves, where they were in live action utilizing the skills that they had just learned. And so let me just give you real quick those first four personality types. A sapphire is somebody who's totally motivated by fun. The language they speak is completely different than anybody else's language. A pearl is someone who's motivated by helping people. These are the people that you see, you know, in ministry. These are the people that you see who, you know, recycle. They want to save the whales. They want to save the plants and the trees and things like that. These people are just totally motivated by helping. They're showers of mercy. Third personality type is what I call an emerald, and that's somebody who is very analytical. Everything is facts or figures. It is black or white. There is no gray area. These people ask a lot of questions. These people are very, they need things proven to them, and it's not going to be proven by your mouth. It's going to be proven by documentation. And then the last personality are a ruby, and that's someone who's totally driven by a challenge, and they're money motivated. So those are the four personality types. The thing that you need to understand, and I'm sure there's tons of books you can read on that stuff, you can our North Carolina CDs we absolutely outline and talk about, and you'll hear it in a way you've never, ever, ever heard it before. You'll laugh hysterically, for one thing, especially if you're live in Denver. And I know there's just under 300 of you that are going to be in Denver with us this weekend. But, oh, my gosh, you're going to laugh so hard you're going to have to leave and use the restroom, because personalities, the demonstration of it is so stinking funny, because you're going to actually see live for yourself how they operate, what they sound like, what they do. We do certain things to prompt, and you'll see. I mean, you're going to just die laughing when you see people being who they are and seeing the groups, in their own groups, their personalities, and seeing how they interact, how they look, how they act, how they walk, how they talk, all of that stuff. You'll see it clearly with your own eyes. Anyway, each four of those personalities speak completely different languages. And so just as, for example, let's pretend that the sapphires speak Spanish, the pearls speak French, the emeralds speak German, and the rubies speak English. Now, can you imagine a German and one who speaks German and one who speaks English trying to communicate a business opportunity to each other? It's not going to work. Why? Because there is a major language barrier, and it's the same exact way with two English people who are different personalities. It really is that different. And so, for example, emeralds, for example, they don't want to hear how fun and exciting the business is, and they don't want to hear language like, oh, man, you're going to be stoked. They don't want to hear that. They understand language like, well, when you come to First Steps this weekend, you're going to learn the processes. You're going to learn strategies that will help to impact your business, make it more effective, and make it more efficient. We're going to streamline your business through marketing techniques and abilities that is obviously going to simplify and make your business far more effective with less time. Those are the words they understand. That is the thing that they can hear and communicate. Now, I could be talking about the same exact training seminar that's taken place in Denver, Colorado, for example, and to a sapphire. Now, a sapphire, if I would have said that to a sapphire, they're like bored stiff yawning at me. That's not going to get them to go. They're thinking, boring. I don't want to go to that. That doesn't sound like any fun. So a sapphire here, and if you're talking about promoting an event to them, this is exactly what I would say to a sapphire. I would say, oh, my gosh, you are going to have the time of your life. We are going to have so much fun. It's going to be a Kodak moment weekend all weekend long. Not only that, you are going to learn so much stuff in such a fun way. You're going to laugh so hard. You're never going to forget this experience. Everyone that's going to be there is just going to be so on fire for everything that they're doing, and we're just going to have the time of our lives. You will look back someday, and you will say, oh, my gosh, that was the turning point in my life. Sapphires are inspirational. They want to be inspired. They want to hear language like, it's going to be fun, it's going to be exciting, it's going to be exhilarating. That is the language they speak. That is not the language that an emerald speaks. Then, for example, the pearls, they want to hear, excuse me, they want to hear that they're going to learn how to help people better, and they're going to learn how to communicate better, and they're going to meet people that they've never met before, and they're going to have tight bonds with people, and they're going to they're going to make some great memories there as well, but they're going to learn how to really, really get to the core of an individual so that they can really learn how to serve in so much of a better way. Now, that language is totally foreign to a ruby, okay? Makes perfect sense to a pearl, totally foreign to a ruby. A ruby, this is what a ruby hears and understands. Listen, if you want to be number one, that is the place to go. If you don't go, you're going to be behind, and that's all there is to it. Everyone else that's going to be there is going to have an edge that you will not have. The people that are there are going to be the ones that are going to get the top bonuses in their compensation structure. They will be the people that earn all the number one spots in the contest. They are the people whose names are going to be recognized as being the best in the industry. So if you're not there, you're just going to be left behind. That is what a ruby understands. So those are the four personality types. Hopefully that gives you a jump start on how to communicate more properly to each one of these personalities. And again, here really is the issue. This is a learned skill. This is an ability that, hello, I've been teaching for years, and I didn't read this out of any book. It was total life experience working with thousands of people and learning how they operate. And so So the deal is that you've got to give yourself some time to learn how to be able to do that. And so, for example, First Steps This Weekend obviously will teach you how to master that. You'll know how to help people more. You will not be questioning yourself, wondering what the next step is. Not only that, you will have a blast communicating with people. So there you go. Here's another question. The next question is, how not to blank and fumble with my mouth because I'm nervous when I'm talking on a live call or with a lead? Great question. I used to do that a lot in the very, very beginning of my career. And the best thing I can tell you is I want you to imagine for just a minute, if you have this question, I want you to imagine, I want you to go way, 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 way back. Go back to your very first job, okay? Go back to your very first job, and I want you to remember what it was like your first day on your first job. Do you remember how uncomfortable you were? And do you remember how unsettling it was? And did you, like, get flushed a couple times and start to sweat and maybe even stink? Did you ever, you know, brain totally freeze up, you know, where it would just go blank and you're like, oh, what am I supposed to do next? Did you have anxiety and frustration in you? Yes, you did. I did too. I had my first job in a video store. I had that very same thing. And so that comes from lack of experience. But see, what happened was is that your second day, you were way more confident than you were your first day. And after your first week, 8 hours, 5 days a week, guess what? You got so good at it. You got better at it. So by the time you started the first day of the following week, man, you were doing pretty stinking good. After just a few months, you were autopilot. You did not even have to think about your job. It just happened naturally. Just like when we first all learned how to drive. You remember that? Oh, my gosh. I remember being so afraid I was going to hit somebody or run off the road or, I don't know, make a wrong turn or get in an accident, whatever. And I just remember thinking, this vehicle I am trying to move is so stinking huge. And I remember driving this one time and feeling like I was going to fall off the edge of the road. I'm turning a corner. I'm feeling I'm going to fall off, just like I used to feel when I used to feel like I was going to fall off a bike. We have all felt that way. But eventually we got so good at it that many of you today drive sometimes with no hands. You drive with your knee while you are eating a McDonald's cheeseburger and talking on the phone, okay? I know this. I watch you people with commuting, okay? So we know that you've gotten so good at it, that you're so comfortable, that you actually risk your life daily by reading the newspaper and driving at the same time. So this business, your business, the answer to this question is that through time and lots of practice, you no longer are going to fumble. You're no longer going to be nervous. You're going to be autopilot like you've done everything else. Okay, that's how it gets. Total autopilot, no big deal. You know what to expect and you know what to do. But the question is are you willing to pay the price of time? Are you willing to pay the price of time? You have to be willing to do that. There's no question about that. Are you willing to pay the price to learn so that you don't make costly mistakes, so that you don't waste time in your learning curve? If you're willing to do those two things, which is invest in your skills so that it gets better for you and practice, 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 you're going to master this just like you've mastered driving, just like you mastered your first job. This is no different than anything else. Just it takes learning a new skill and applying it, and that's it, and patience during the time of when it takes to get good at it. Okay, next question, number three. The question was, and this is somebody who has a salon product, and they market a product to salon owners. And this is obviously an outside sales type person who wants to know, how do I market my product to business owners? Well, great question. Awesome question, and I've got a great way for you to do it. One of the things that works really, really well is if you were, and you being an outside sales, what you want to do is you want to make a long list of resources that you personally have. And with that long list of resources, what you have is you have people who know people who own salons. Okay, and maybe you have a different type of a business. Maybe you're trying to target insurance brokers, you're targeting real estate agents, or whatever it is, you target doctors or chiropractors. What you need to do is make a long list of resources. Get that list to about 200. And when you get that list to 200, and some of you are thinking, resources, what are you talking about? People that you know, people that you've met, people you've been in business with, people you've been in jobs with, people you've hired in the past, contractors or sheet metal people or people that do gravel, whatever it is, you know, mechanics, whatever. Make a long list of people you've done business with and people that you know personally, especially business owners. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to network through those people. So, for example, what you want to do, and there's a script that we use. There's several scripts actually available in the DannyJohnson.com script book training. has two CDs in it, and it has 16 scripts in it. Between all these scripts and a combination of these scripts, you will have a script that will work for you every single time. I'm not kidding you. The script book has so many options in it that it'll give you the words to say, and therefore you'll feel very comfortable in how to say it. And the CDs teach you not only what to say, but how to say it to make your presentation far more powerful. And so what you would do is you call friends of yours, and if you are somebody who's targeting salons, you would say, hey, Sally, how's it going? You know, and just chit-chat small talk, right? And then you say, you know what, Sally, I was wondering, who's your hairdresser? Okay? And she's going to say, oh, Barbara down at Reflections. Oh, really? How long have you been going to her? Oh, I don't know, about 10 years. Do you like her? Yeah, I love her. Have you ever recommended anyone to her? Yes, I have many times. Does she own the salon? Actually, she does own the salon. Really? Now, this is so interesting. Tell me more about her. I mean, how do you feel her business skills are, her people skills, all of those kind of things? Oh, I feel that they're great. You know, it's interesting is I'm working with a company who is targeting salon owners, and we're looking really specifically for some very wise salon owners who have a good reputation that we want to have a business alignment with. And so I'm calling various people that I know to find out if they have a salon owner that they would actually, you know, feel confident in their business ability and feel confident in recommending them. And so, you know, I just wanted to know, you know, how you feel about Barbara. And so, anyway, you get them to recommend them and tell them you are interviewing to find really good salon owners that you are going to give the chance to have the rights to marketing something that will help, that has helped hundreds of other salons from around the country do far better and bring in much more revenue and improve their client base. So, that's not difficult. I'm telling you, that was worth $300 right there. Next one. How to overcome objections when people think network marketing is just a pyramid scheme. Okay, awesome question. Awesome, awesome, awesome question. I'm running out of questions here. I'm going through these much faster than I thought I would. That's a great question. And what's interesting is that if you are presenting your business opportunity as a pyramid scam, people are going to think it is a pyramid scam. And so many of you are not in a pyramid scam. You're not. There's a lot of you that are in home-based business and, you know, you've heard the talk about, you know, pyramid scams, and I'll tell you, a pyramid scam is what it is. It has no product. The legal definition for a pyramid scam, there is no product. It is just a money chain, like airplane or chain letters and things like that. Those are pyramid scams. When there is no product or service in exchange of equal value of product and service, then it is a pyramid scam. So, as far as people thinking that direct sales or network marketing or multi-level or whatever it is that you people call it, what I'm telling you is if you are coming across with somebody like that, then they will think that. And so I've always been one to promote professionalism, and therefore I do not speak the language that those people speak. I speak a language that general, good, hardworking Americans understand. And so, like, for example, the example that I just gave you of the salon owner, that could be used for someone who's in network marketing or in outside sales. It's a language that the general public accepts, respects, and responds well to. And so you may be saying words that are demeaning your opportunity. And so words like network marketing will definitely demean your opportunity. There's no question. If there's a bad taste in people's mouth about that, then, hello, why are you saying it? However, for example, I made tons of money in that industry. I am absolutely proud to be a part of that industry. However, I did not conduct myself as most networking amateurs did. I conducted my business in a professional way that people responded well to and therefore wanted to be a part of something that had such a good approach instead of, hey, will you come and get started in my downline so I can make some money on you, and then you can call your friends, and you can sell this product to your friends, and we got this potion, and you can sell it to your friends, and your friends then are going to make you money, and they're going to sign up all their friends. If you are leading with that kind of approach, I would run. And I love you, but I would run. And so you want to absolutely improve the approach that you're doing, because for every action, there is an equivalent reaction. And so, you know, I've brought people in that had beliefs about network marketing, and I still sponsored their bus in and made them a ton of money. And so it's not whether or not they think it's a scam. It's all in how you're approaching it. And so we really nail that hard at First Steps to Success. In Denver, These people that are going to be there, they are going to get worked over on that right there. They're going to get worked over on making sure that they're not representing their business like another amateur, that they are representing their business as a professional, that they are not using language that is causing adverse effects to their client base or to their prospective prospects. And so don't if you're coming, just wipe the sweat off your brow, because you're going to learn so much about how not to repel people, but instead how to make them more attracted to you. And that's documented, by the way. I could give you hundreds of testimonies of people saying, wow, people are attracted to me now. Wow, people are coming to me saying, I want to get started. Instead of before, they were begging and convincing and chasing people. If you want to stop begging, convincing, and chasing people, then I'll probably see you in Denver. Like, if you really want to stop that and you really want to stop feeling really gross inside when you're talking to people and you want to feel really good about what you're doing and feel really good about the business that you're in and feel really good about the future that you're handing it to other people, I'll see you this weekend and never. Okay, next one. How to get the prospect to be there for the follow-up call. They sound excited, but when I call back, they either see it's me and let it ring or let it go to the answering machine and never call back. That is a great question for question number 5. And you know what? Let me tell you, you are not alone. There are thousands and probably tens of thousands of people who have that question, that are just totally frustrated beyond all belief on how to get people to show up for the follow-up call. First of all, you need to establish what your numbers are. If your numbers are really bad, let's say 1 out of 10 people wind up showing up for that, I would really recommend that you at least give it your best shot to get into our July prospecting and closing classes, because this is not a question that's going to be answered tonight and really make a big difference. I can touch on it, but we teach 4-week-long classes. They're 4 weeks. They're an hour and a half long, and we meet every single week. I monitor your numbers, and we fine-tune everything that you're doing. And so the reality is that we don't have 4 weeks right now. We have minutes, and that's it. So I can at least get you started. First of all, sometimes if you are directing people to a website, some of them have already gone to the website and already decided that it wasn't for them. And that's okay. That's a quick next. That's a quick I'm out of there. You didn't have to deal with that person, and that's fine. But the rest of those people that didn't even go to take a look at a website or didn't even go to a conference call, never even checked out the information, what happens when you're on the phone, and again, I don't know what script it is that you're using, but if you're using the script book on and you're using page 2 and you're talking to prospects, you're purchasing leads from an advertising campaign that was done through an advertising agency, then what you have is you have a script on page 2 that is very professional, establishes posture, and creates an eager want in the prospect. The important thing that you must do is this. You must make a connection with that prospect. You must establish trust with that prospect. And you must let that prospect talk about themselves. The more you can get them to talk about themselves, and I said themselves, not you talk about them, not you put words in their mouth, but let them talk about them, then the more they trust you and the more interested they become in what you have. You see, you will get people much more interested in you by you first being interested in them, far more than you ever will trying to get others interested in you. If you're trying to get people interested in you, they ain't going to be interested in you. I'm here to tell you that right now. People only care about themselves. They don't care about you. That's how it works. And so knowing that, if you become genuinely interested in the prospect and you find out what makes them tick, where do they come from, what did they used to do, what were they good at, what are their goals, what is going to get them involved in that opportunity so that they can achieve their goals, not so you can achieve your goals, but so that they can achieve their goals, you will become extremely successful. If the focus is about helping them get what they want, then you're going to do very well. So chances are when you have people continuously not show up for a follow-up call, it is because they thought you were trying to sell them something, and they will not pick up that phone. They will not. And by the way, you can block your caller ID, and I can't remember how you do that. Call your phone company. But you can block your caller ID so that it's a blocked number coming to you. Coming to them. But the reality is this. The sign that people are not showing up or not coming for a follow-up call is because they felt like you were trying to sell them something, which is why I work so hard at First Steps in teaching people how not to do that. I work so hard on our CDs, on the North Carolina CDs, the scriptbook CDs, on teaching people to not sound like a salesperson. I have nothing against salespeople, nothing against professional salespeople. Amateurs, need help. But professionals, I have full highest respect. They're the highest paid professionals on the face of the planet. There's not a higher paid profession than sales. There isn't one. Doctors, lawyers, none of them make as much as salespeople. But having said that, most of you have never met a professional ever in your life. Most of what you've seen are amateurs. And for some reason, when people go into business for themselves, they all of a sudden turn into another amateur salesperson. I'm not kidding you. This is one of the biggest epidemics that I see out there, and one of the biggest things I help my clients with is how not to sound like you're selling, but to just be yourself and make a connection with the person that's on the other end of the phone. Okay. Number six is, it says, I have a block in speaking to friends and credible people in the community. Why? Who are they? Who are they that they are so special that you should be intimidated by them? They are a man or a woman just like you. And to be honest with you, and this is hilarious when we do this in First Steps, most of the people that you are, the credible people that you are intimidated in talking to, are a ruby personality, and they are the easiest people in the world to talk to. And let me tell you why. Because number one, you just throw down a challenge to them, and you puff up their ego, and all of a sudden, they're eating out of your hand. That's how it is. And most of them can be challenged into doing anything. In fact, they could be challenged into doing something that they don't even want to do. Most rubies were not even looking for a business, and yet they wind up in one and wind up getting number one in their business. And they weren't even looking for it. Why? Because they were challenged by other people who were doing it and doing it well. So as far as you have a block, well, I suggest clearly that you tear it down because it's not serving you. Get over it. And as far as speaking with your friends, if you're worried about what they're thinking about you, you need to be really working on that because you are not the issue. The issue is the opportunity that you have in the palm of your hands to hand to somebody else, and it's time to get over it. Again, this is a huge thing that we deal with one-on-one and also at First Steps because most of you that are listening to me right now have this issue. You have a block of talking to your friends. You're afraid of what they're going to say about you. You're afraid of them rejecting you. You're afraid of them telling other people how silly you are for doing this little business. You are afraid that they're not going to respect you. You're afraid that they're going to think you're stupid, you're nuts, you're crazy. And all I have to say is the sooner you can get over that silly thought, the better. And, in fact, I would attack that your friends quickly and say, hey, listen, I don't want you to come to me later saying, why didn't you tell me? Because I'm here to develop business of very success-minded people, and I'm working with a company that's giving people a heck of a chance with some huge bonuses, and I don't want you coming to me later when I helped one of our other friends do it, and you say, why didn't you tell me? So I'm just giving you a heads up. This is what I got going on, and so here's your chance. And that needs to be coming straight from the heart, straight from your heart, that you really believe that. And I've used that approach so many times. Why? Because it's the truth. I didn't want some people coming to me later saying, how come you didn't tell me? I didn't want that. So I told them heads up. I don't want you coming to me later saying, hey, how come you didn't let me in on it? Because where I'm going with it and where it's going, with or without us, you will be mad if you miss out. So lead with that. Here's another thing. Don't forget the other thing. I'm going to question number seven. Question number seven is how to market to friends that know you already and are a little skeptical. Well, the same way that you would approach a cold lead, the same way you would approach your butcher, the same way you would approach the postmaster, you say something. Something would be really, really, really good to say. But I totally understand where you're coming from. You're totally feeling like, oh, my gosh. You know, they're already skeptical, and it's going to be harder because they already, you know, think this is probably stupid that I'm doing this. You know what? Let me tell you something. Most people wind up thinking those kind of thoughts and never make the phone call. And then there's the few that actually pick up the phone, and they get over, and they make it happen, and guess what? They wind up seeing success. They wind up bringing people in. It's so hilarious to me how many people think, oh, my friends and family, they're not going to be for it. They're not going to do it. And how many people sponsored those people? It cracks me up. Listen, that is just nothing but a game being played against you in your head. It is time to hang it up. Get over it. Pick up the phone. We have so many options for you as far as how to market to friends that you know are already skeptical. Confront the issue. Hey, I know you're already skeptical, but you know what? You're not coming off my list until you take a look. So here's the deal. When's a good time? Because you know you're not coming off. I don't care if it takes me 5 years. You're going to look at it. And you can come right off the list as soon as you take a look and be done with it. Okay. So here's another thing. I mean, we have several scripts in the script book. Here we go. There's two test market approaches. Here's an approach you can do for your friends that you know are already skeptical. You call one of them up and say, you know what, I was really wondering if you'd be willing to help me out with something. We have been looking for a way to get out of debt and pay off our car, and after carefully searching for what we felt would work, we found something, but before we completely get ourselves in too deep, we are first doing a test market through our friends who we trust will give us an honest assessment. It's kind of a look under the hood and test drive kind of thing before you buy. And so would you be willing to test something out for me? What are they going to say? They're going to say, sure, no problem. Okay? And you can have them test out a service if that's what you're marketing. You can have them test out whatever. You know, and you can use that approach with even having them take a look. Let's say you market a travel service. Have them go on the website. Say, please go through this thing and let me test drive this website for me. Go through the entire process. Let me know really honestly. Give me your honest assessment about it. That is like such a simple approach. And I just read a script on page 6 of the script book. You know, here's another one, especially for new people. And even if you're old, that's fine. It doesn't matter. You know, this is the practice approach number one. You say, I know you've been really, really busy with all that you have going on in your life, and I almost didn't call you because of your schedule, but I really need your help. We've been looking for a way to pay off our car and put away some money for the kids. And I believe that we may have found a way, but before we began our national advertising campaign, I was hoping to gain some experience first with practicing on you. Do you think that you could help me out? What are they going to say? Sure. Okay, can we talk tomorrow and, you know, set the appointment? Great, I really appreciate your help. I'd rather get some experience with someone that I know, you know, will be nice to me versus me, you know, getting into this advertising campaign first. And there you go. And that's very simple stuff. Very, very simple. Okay? Next, how to market to friends that know you all. Oh, no, I already did that. What a goofball. Silly Danny. Okay, next one. And this is number 8, how do I close people and get them to join me in my business venture? What to say and, of course, what not to say? Okay, that's an awesome question. First of all, in the script book on page 4, there is an actual closing script. And this script has been used by thousands and thousands of people on a daily basis and has worked beautifully for those people. Now, here's what you do say. After the presentation is done, okay, let's talk about what you don't say first. What you don't say is more about the products, more about the compensation plan. You do not get up from your presentation and drag your people to the product table. You don't sell more on your service. You don't do any selling at all. All you do after that presentation is you ask some very pointed questions to help your prospect to make a decision. Well, Danny, why do I have to help them make a decision? Because people hate making a decision. They don't like it. They'll do anything to absolutely avoid it. In fact, they'll give you a bunch of excuses so they don't have to make a decision. Well, if you do the process right and you use the script on page 2, if it's cold market, or you use the script like the one of the two scripts that I just read to you, what you're doing through that is you're creating an eager want in them to do something with their life. That's the whole point. And that's the point of the presentation is creating an eager want in the prospect to do something with their life, to get over their financial burden, to spend more time with their children, to vacation more, to help charities more, to pour thousands of dollars into their churches or to orphanages or whatever it is that their hearts desire. Your job in the beginning is to stir up in them an eager want. The presentation stirs up the eager want and even more. And then the closing script will basically just ask them, are you serious about those things and are you ready to get started on them? And so what's important is that you stick to the script for two reasons. One, so that you don't go off and sell. Two, so that you're duplicatable. When people see or know that you are reading a script, in their minds they're thinking, man, I can do that. If they're doing this, I can do it. I can read. So it makes everything very duplicatable. Now, I wrote these scripts years ago, and I used these scripts in front of thousands of people. I've trained thousands of people by using a script. Now, here's what's hilarious. People say to me, why do you still read it? Don't you have it memorized? Yes, but why I read it is because of who's watching me read it. If my new distributor is seeing me read a script, they're thinking, I can do this, man. I can read. That's not a problem. And that's what I want my new distributor thinking, is that it's simple and that they can do it, okay? So the first question that you ask somebody is, you know, they say, what you say to them right after they see the presentation is, what did you like about what you saw or heard or read, whatever, however which way you give your presentation. What did you like about what you just saw? Okay? And they're going to give you an answer. And most of them are going to give you an answer like, you know, I liked the service. Okay? Some of them are just, you know, blurt out with just one quick, you know, I liked the service. Really? Well, tell me more about that. Well, you know, I like the fact that you can really help people with a service like that. The service sounds like it seems to be up and up. It sounds, you know, like most people want a service like that. In fact, I can think of, you know, 5 people or more that would like to have that same exact service, you know. So it seems really solid and seems really good. Now, what just happened there? The prospect just sold themselves on what they liked. Where most people make a gigantic, I mean, ginormous mistake, is that the distributor sells what they like to the prospect. You're not supposed to sell what you like to the prospect. You are not to do that. You are to find out what the prospect likes and give it to them. And so when I just demonstrated asking, you know, what did you like about what you saw? Tell me more about that. I've sat there and let my prospects sell themselves. Why? Number one, it's much easier. That's for sure. Number two, it's pretty accurate. And efficient and very effective versus me shooting in the dark trying to guess or hoping that I have some prophetic gifting that drops on me and I can read their mind, okay? Number three, it's simple and it's duplicatable. Number four, if they sell themselves, they're convincing themselves. Therefore, they own their own decision and will be much more excited, okay? Now, the third question you're going to ask is, okay, Jan, do you want to make a little or a lot? Well, I want to make a lot. What for? Now you're getting the prospect to spend the money. Well, I'm severely in debt and I don't want to be in debt and, I want to pay off my house and, you know, my kids, I got 4 kids, they're going to need to go to college and I'm going to need, you know, money to send them through college and so, you know, that's, you know, I got to come up with a lot of money. Next question, number 5 is, so Jan, at your current job, how long will it take you to be able to send your 4 children through college, pay off your debt, and pay off your house, and be out from underneath this financial trouble? The answer is always never. Great, where do you see yourself getting started? You see yourself starting at the bottom and going slow to building that money to get your kids through college? Or do you see yourself putting yourself in a position where you can earn the maximum amount of profits, in fact, earn double? You will earn double than the person who starts at the bottom. And they usually say, well, I want to start at the top. Your next gesture is handing them an application and saying, welcome aboard. And you hand them a pen and you shut up. There you go. Next question. How do I address it when we are about to start an enrollment and everything makes perfect sense, but they say, well, I need to check with my spouse first. Then I usually never hear from them again, even when I call back a day or two later. Awesome question. And again, great question. Phenomenal question. And here's my answer. When you are at the end and you followed the script, you know, all the way through, and the person, and you're handing them their application, you're saying, great, welcome aboard. I just need to get your contact information and, you know, what's your name and all that. If they give you an objection at that point, which most of them will, okay, when that happens, this is basically what you do, is you say, okay, Jan, is it that you are absolutely serious about putting your kids through college and paying off your debt and paying off your house and that you really run all of your decisions by your husband? Or, Jan, is it that you're not serious at all and you're just telling me that you talk to your husband and you're never going to speak to me again? Oh, no, Danny, seriously. No, I am absolutely serious about paying off my kids' college tuition and paying off my house and all that. Okay, great. So, Jan, have you ever gotten excited about something before? Yes. And have you ever gone to talk to your husband about it and, you know, told him how excited you were and tried to explain everything to him? Yes. And did your husband ever ask you any questions that you could not answer and therefore began to poke holes in what it was that you were excited about and kind of shoot it down? Yes. Now, Jen, I know you don't want that to happen to you again, now do you? And I know that you don't want to go through that frustration. Was it frustrating when your husband poked holes in it? Yes. So, Jan, to save you from that heartache and headache, why don't we set up an appointment so your husband can view the information in the very same way that you did, and he can drill me with questions because I'm more qualified to answer them. Does that sound good to you? Yes. Great. What's a good time to talk to him tonight? And you set up an appointment, and you say, Jan, do not breathe a word of this to him because he's going to ask you questions, and then he's going to try to talk you out of something that you're excited about. So let him see the full picture for himself, okay? So when he gets home, just say, you know what? I found something. I need you to take a look at it for me, and I want you to see the full picture, honey, so that you can, you know, either poke it all over the place or say, hey, this is something that I think we should do. Okay, so, and if he tries to ask a question, say, honey, please don't, I don't know enough, and I don't want to ruin it for you. Please just take a look at it for me. I'm begging you to do this. And just tell him that, Jan, and then that's it. 50% of the time, the people say, okay, sure, that sounds great, and they show up for the appointment. The other 50% of the time, people say, you know, I don't need to talk to him. All right, let's get started, okay? And you handle their objection, and that's it, okay? So basically, that's how you handle that objection of, you know, I need to talk to my spouse first. You qualify the objection first, all right? You qualify the objection really is just a question, and you say, now, Jan, is it that you are absolutely serious about putting your kids through college and paying off that debt, and that you really do run all of your decisions by your husband first? Or are you just telling me that you're serious and you're really not serious about paying off your debt and putting your kids through college, and you're just telling me that you need to talk to your husband because you don't want to hurt my feelings by telling me this is not for you? Okay, qualify the question. That makes them make a decision. Yes or no. Okay? Either yes, I'm serious, or no, I'm not. Okay? So then at that point, then you handle the objection and say, you know, okay, once your husband, you know, anyway, you heard me handle it. So that's basically that's basically how you handle it, and that's real simple. I'm going to answer one more question. This is, if you have two people on the phone with your new enrollee and you are doing a conference call, how would you sign them up individually over the phone when you are closing them? Well, if you have all of them on the phone at the same time from a conference call, you just stay on that line, I'm assuming you all three-wayed each other into that call. And you ask the closing questions and you tell everybody, hey, I'm on the phone with Jan, and Jan is brand new, just got started with this, and I really appreciate you two being her friends and be willing to let her practice on you through her training process. So, Jan, I'm going to be reading the script on page 4. You need to pull your script book out because I'm just going to be reading that. I just have a couple questions for you, Tom and Jim. And you go through the closing script with each of them. You kind of pass it off. So you ask question 1 and 2, and then go to Jim and ask Jim question 1 and 2. Then you ask question 3 and 4 to Tim, and then you ask question 3 and 4 to Jim. Then you ask 5 and 6 to Tim, then you ask 5 and 6 to Jim. Okay, so you go through like that, and then you say, you know, welcome aboard. I just need to get your guys' contact information. So Tim, is it Timothy or is it just Tim? Can you spell your first name for me, your legal name? And your last name, can you spell that for me? Okay, great. And Jim, is it James or Jim, or can you give me your legal name? Okay, awesome. Tim, what address do I have you at? And you take that information down. Okay, great. What method of payment? Tim, I just need your card number. Blah, 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 blah. Usually these people all know each other, and that's usually fine. If not, Tim's not comfortable with that. You say, okay, listen, you know, Jan, call Tim back and go ahead and get his card number from him. And, Jim, I'll go ahead and take yours now. And that's it. That's what you do. That was question number 10 or 9 or something like that. Can't remember. Okay, cool. All right. Well, there you guys go. That's basically how I answered, I think, 9 questions. I think that was pretty rich and definitely worth $300, that's for sure. Let me wrap this up for you guys real quick. I just want to tell you that it's honestly a privilege to be in business with you. And I'm totally, eternally grateful for all of you who pack out these calls every single week. And we are eternally grateful for how you just so unselfishly tell people about our site and that you tell people about what we're doing. And I'm honestly just so impressed with how you've done that and how you unselfishly, continuously, on a daily basis, even tell prospects about our site because you really feel like it'll help people. And so we are proud to be in business with you. And no matter what it is that you're dealing with today and what challenges it is that you are facing and how much you feel like, you know, things are not going right or they're not going fast enough and it's not working for you, just understand that there's been so many other people who have felt the same exact way. I have felt the same exact way. And frustration is a part of life. At least let it be worth it. Disappointment is a part of life. At least let it be worth it. The price that you're going to pay for that, at least let it be worth it. But if you quit, then it never was worth it, and you wasted your time and everybody else's. And so quitting cannot be an option. Even in those days that you feel like throwing in the towel, I have had those days. But if you never, ever quit, I promise you, you're eventually going to get the skill that you need so that you can get out there and succeed, that you will eventually have that that professionalism, and you will eventually be able to do things that you just did not think you could do. I know that when all of us learned how to drive, man, we were a little scared. We were a little nervous. Some of us were terrified. Other of us were overconfident. But I know that when our hands got on that wheel and our foot got on that pedal, it was a little bit unsettling for sure and a little bit embarrassing because you probably had somebody in the car with you and you were jerking the car all over the place. Your business will be the same exact way. You will get better on it, better at it day by day, as long as, of course, you're plugging in and learning more and then getting out there and practicing and applying it, getting out, you know, going in, learning. And I'm excited for all the new people I get to meet in Denver, Colorado this weekend. I can't wait to see your faces. I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to work with you and pour into you all that you need to be able to get out there and make your business easier, more effective, more efficient, to make it more profitable. I can't wait to have the time of my life with you and to have my life be affected by you and vice versa. We're going to have a blast. And those of you coming, make sure you get there early so that you can get a good seat. You don't want to be in the nosebleed section. 300 people is a lot of people. It's a huge event. I mean, it's not thousands, but it's a lot of people to be around. So get there early so you can get good seats, as well as bring a camera. You want to take pictures of the different types of people that are going to be there and the different stories it is that you're going to hear. And make sure that if you're meeting a group there, that you got pictures taken with each other and you have fun things planned for each other. Now, Saturday night is an open night. Saturday night we use that opportunity. It's not a part of First Steps to Success at all. It is open to the general public, and it is just a spiritual equipping for your personal and your professional life, where we teach straight out of the scriptures. We pull business